Oh, I'm recording now, and we are counting on you to make sure we don't forget how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Fred is changing his search engine, and I'm doing the Zoom on the Facebook.
I thought Ask Jeeves was a great search engine. It's like we're changing.
I remember that one. Yeah. I remember.
Everything had to be in the form of a question. So every time you visited, it was like a Jeopardy episode.
Yeah, and whatever happened to Ask Jeeves?
It was purchased by another search engine, and then they disappeared.
They did who?
They were purchased by another search engine, and then they disappeared. Sort of like, if you guys remember, there was a company that sold pet products, and then the commercial had a dog in it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, there were a lot of companies that died quickly 20 years ago. It was all internet related.
Am I sharing to my page? Yes. Is the page Humble and Fred Radio? Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. We're going live. Oh, wait a minute. Original sound off. I forget a few things. All right. It says setting up your meeting. Looks like we have full liftoff. Oh, I have to open this thing, too. Are you ready, Freddie?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, and our newest sponsor, Bodog, your source for free casino games, poker strategy, and live sports odds. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, we have a Patreon account. And now from the worldwide headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble.
Yeah. We got a Patreon account because we're cool that way. Yeah, man. Patreon, yeah. You know, every day, Freddie, more and more Canadians, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccine. Have you heard about this, the vaccine?
Yes. Yes, it's making the news. Yes.
Health Canada approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, mass vaccination, science, and every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians like a Fizzy Bum Bum, who did his part and got his shot yesterday.
Second dose.
Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the government of Ontario. And, you know, Fred said something to me yesterday when we were conversing. I don't know. I really don't know anyone. I don't think. I know one person, but that hasn't been vaccinated.
Double, you mean?
Well, you and I were talking about double vax.
Oh,
but
okay.
even because I'm not sure if I think one of my kids still has her second vaccination. Maybe not. But yeah, most people we know have been double vaccinated.
Oh, yes. The conversation we had, I agree. There's a lot of younger people still in line for their second vac. Like, I think my daughter and her husband get it this week. I said I was referring to our peer group.
Yeah, people our age.
In our peer group, I only know of one person who hasn't got his second vaccination yet. And did you talk to him about that yesterday?
I brought it up organically.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I was just like, oh, so how's the vaccination thing going? Mm-hmm. You know.
And he just claims it's because it's been too busy.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Paperwork.
Priorities, right?
No.
It's only life and death.
Yeah. It's always paperwork with him. You notice that? He always has to, I'm doing some paperwork.
Really?
What are you? Because when he says paperwork, it's like he's doing the accounting for a convenience store or something.
Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, my Auntie Joy and Uncle Lloyd had a little house not far from ours. They had a rec room. And when you went in the bathroom, there was a big sign of a guy sitting on the toilet leaning forward. And it said, the job isn't done till all the paperwork is finished.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing what you remember?
Yeah.
I can't remember last week.
Do you remember there was these series of books called Jokes for the John?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh, man. They were funny. You would sit there, Phil. These were a series of books that were written specifically to read whilst one was making eliminations.
Mm-hmm. And then you place the book after on the potpourri and all that stuff, right?
Now it somehow seems dirty.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because I don't spend enough time. It's good to get preoccupied on the toilet so you have full evacuation or full expulsion or whatever you want to call it. I'm a real quick pooper. My brother-in-law used to go in with into the bathroom for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, but that's not good. You're not, you know, it's not good to sit there straining your anus. Anus.
you're not necessarily pushing for the 40 minutes. You're just sitting there waiting for certain moments of opportunity.
How many moments can happen in 40 minutes?
Well, you know, I have gone and thought, okay, time to leave. I got other things to do. And then thought, maybe I should just sit here for a couple of more minutes. And lo and behold, you know.
Oh, well, it's magic. It's just magical.
Yes, it's magic.
It's all magical. I was at a cottage last week that was on a septic system. And you weren't allowed to put the paper in the toilet in the house. But they had an outhouse. So, okay, here's the thing. So, in the house, you could go to the washroom, but you had to take the paper that you used to, you know, wipe up after you were finished. You had to put that in the waste paper basket. And I said, no. I didn't. I refused. I went out to the outhouse every day and did my business there.
Was it all right, the outhouse?
Yeah, it was quite nice. I would prop the door open just to give it a little air.
I forget where I was. Maybe it was in Mexico the last time or this. I can't remember. But there was a rule there, please do not put paper in the toilet. Yeah. I just pretend that I never saw the sign. Sorry.
Did you?
I didn't see that. That's There's great. No way I'm taking that and putting it in the waste paper basket beside me. Not happening.
Well, so the very first day we get there, the people were there and they're very nice and they showed us around. And somehow I heard the conversation about this situation, but I just thought, well, they can't be talking about toilet paper. They must be talking about sanitary products, you know, which does not affect me. So I go in as soon as they're gone, and there's even a sign in the toilet that says, don't put paper in the toilet. But again, I don't think it applies to toilet paper. I think it applies to like office supplies, newspaper,
sandpaper.
So I of course do my business and I put the paper in the toilet. And Rachel says, did you put the paper in the toilet? And I said, yes, of course. She goes, they said, don't put the paper in the toilet. I go, well, surely they didn't mean toilet paper. And they did.
Well, given our culture, I think you should be told about that before you rent a place. Because I find that very, very unsettling, actually.
Well, yeah.
Well, just think about that.
Yeah,
I know. And I've been to places where I didn't stay over, where you just went in to have a pee, and that was the rule, and there's a basket, and you can see all the...
Yeah, like, crumpled up bum wipe.
I don't want to be around that.
Yeah. Well, to her credit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, to Stan, you know, and you have to worry about dogs. That's like candy to dogs sometimes.
No, you know, Stan went through a couple of years when he was a puppy where he ate his own shit, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
To her credit, Rachel, and I didn't even ask how, somehow negotiated the indoor toilet. She never went out to the outhouse like the Howman did. And I said to her a couple times, so what exactly is going on with your paper? And she said, don't worry about it. I guess she took it, put it in a bag, took it out to the thing. I don't know. It's not for me to know. As far as warning people, like, this wasn't one of those online cottage rentals. This was like a friend of a friend kind of thing. And they were nice enough because, and I'm sure you've had this conversation, I was talking to a few people up there that were also renting cottages in this little lake we were on.
Right.
And one couple, a young couple with like a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, so like late 30s or mid 30s, she said to me, they went online in January to book this cottage and had and were having trouble in January trying to find a place.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mhm. Yeah, that's more of the COVID fallout. Be interesting to see. Very interesting. Next summer, if it eases up a bit, when people have more stuff to do in the city.
Yeah, more options. And mm-hmm. in August, we're going back again to a listener's cottage, a listener's sister's cottage, who's renting us their place. And maybe I should ask in advance, can I go duty inside the house? Maybe I should find that out.
Well, that's not the question. Of course, you can go duty inside the house. It's just, can I leave the paper?
Yeah, I want to be, you know, because I'm sure that, you know, like my mess would be, especially the last week, you know, would be different than Rachel's. Anyway. Welcome, everyone.
I'm quite sure of that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm surprised they didn't charge you a septic tank rider or a little, you know, extra.
Hey, I had a septic tank. I had a septic system at that place in Mississauga. I didn't think we put paper in the toilet there.
Well, there's septic tank friendly paper. It's like one ply, right?
I guess.
I mean, your fingers poke right through it. But if you wrap it up enough and it almost dissolves, and I have this stuff that I use in my holding tank at the Tin Palace, there's these little white pellets, and every week after they clean my system, so to speak, we were talking about this a few weeks ago, I just put a little cup of these pellets in behind, and what it does over the week is break down the toilet paper and the stools into liquid.
Oh.
So when the guy pumps it out, it's free and easy.
That's fantastic. Phil, how's your poopy?
It's fine, and thank God I don't have to use septic systems.
All right. Well, Phil's here, so are we. Welcome back, everybody. We're just getting warmed up. Noel Kassler returns to our program today. He's the Gig Sky guest of the day. As well, we'll talk with an old cannabis friend of ours, Angelina Blessed from Blessed Cannabis. Find out what's going on in the world of cannabis, Fred. A couple of weeks ago, I had to cancel the show. Canceled my appearance on the show because I got very sick. Phil, have you ever had food poisoning?
Oh, yes, but probably not in the depth that you had.
Hey, you have had food poisoning? Wow. When did you have that?
You remember that week in Cambodia last year where everything that came out was yellow?
No, I don't remember that.
Take your traveler's diarrhea vaccine, because if you don't, that happens to you.
Yeah.
Howard, play Yellow by Coldplay.
Hold on.
Dude. At some point, I was in the washroom 6 or 7 times an hour.
You know,
I melt them back in again.
That last sentence is exactly why you are the most valuable player on this team. Do you remember, he said, in Cambodia, where everything came out of me that was yellow? I don't, Phil, but thanks for jogging my memory.
There were occasional red chunks, but that
all
was
right, chilly. Phil, come on. Even for us, this is gross. Anyway, the story is, very briefly, on my way home from the golf course, I ordered some food from a place that I always order it from. It happened to be an Asian cuisine, but that is not really germane to the story. Hashtag no Asian hate. Okay, Phil? I ordered Chinese food, and I was feeling pretty good. I had a nice day in the golf course, came home, and I ate a bunch of it, you know, probably more than a regular person would, you know. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and I could tell something was wrong. I just could feel it, and I had had food poisoning before, just one other time, and it came on me very quickly. Long story short, I was up all night not feeling very well, mostly just throwing up, and not the other, to be not to be gross. So I just had sort of this really, I don't know, just a very, like, once I threw up, I felt better. I just didn't feel great. And for a couple days, I felt a little bit better. And I'm getting to the part where I don't think it was food poisoning. I think there's, you know, some stuff going on because it's now been, I've been on antibiotics. When I was at the cottage, I was feeling really bad. And like food poisoning kind of, I've had it one other time where I got it. As you said, Phil, I was sort of really sick in a short period of time. And then afterwards, I felt great. With this, I felt better, but I've not got to great yet. Anyway, on Monday, I got my doctor to send me an antibiotic up at up in Minden, where I was. Yeah, he's up in Minden, right, Phil?
Up in the booty.
Up in Minden. And it was great, eh? Anyway, I'm on some medication. It's the medication itself is an antibiotic for sort of parasites and stomach bacteria. And the side effects of the Mac, it's weird because I don't know about you, Freddie, but I generally, you know, they give you that pamphlet at the pharmacy that says these are the side effects. Mm-hmm. And I generally throw them out. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I read them and the side effects of this drug I'm on also makes you feel kind of shitty. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned to you, it's done something to my throat. In that, it's given me this kind of constant hoarse feeling in my throat. And to be honest, like I feel pretty good when I wake up. And then when I eat, which I did about an hour ago, I start to feel bad again. So something's going on. Anyway, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow and we'll see. But I've got 3 or 4 more days of this antibiotic and maybe that's what's making me feel crappy.
Is any of this consistent with COVID?
No.
All right.
No, it's not COVID-y.
All right.
No, I have all the... no, because, like, the weird thing was, you know, at 9 o'clock, I went to bed, I felt fine. Right. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up that night. We were supposed to do the show on Thursday morning, and I sent you both a text around 4 in the morning. Right. I just felt terrible. So it came on very quickly. But I don't have any of the signs of COVID. I don't have a fever. Mm. I'm not really sick except in my sort of stomach area. You know, it's weird.
So you can still get a boner. Mm-hmm. You're okay?
So far.
All right.
You know, listen.
That's when you're really worried.
I was going to say, you know, there are certain things a guy, he plays through.
And, that's right. That's right.
I try, even though I wasn't feeling great last week. There were some times a guy had to get out there on the ice, play injured,
and I
right. I went in the corners. I went in the corners. I took some face offs, several actually. And I played injured.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's my story, kids, and. Yeah, it's a drag.
I only had it once. Years ago when I was doing my blog, I was doing this little expose on Muslims and the treatment of Muslims. At the time, it was an issue. And this Muslim guy who read my blog invited me out for dinner. And I thought, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about whatever. And he took me to this place that it was that style of food.
Middle East
food, yeah, but nothing like I had ever had before. It was good, and I remember strolling into the restaurant thinking, "Oh, this looks good, man. I'm going to have this, have a beer, and it'll be great." Well, of course, they didn't serve beer at all.
No
liquor in this restaurant, zero. So I had it with some peach drink or something. Anyway, we had a nice conversation, and I had the meal. I enjoyed it, but I'll tell you, man, within a few hours, I was in rough shape. There was something wrong there. And I know it was food poisoning because it came and it went. It was no 24-hour flu.
Yeah.
Because it didn't come with the flu symptoms. It was just, like, sick. That was really my only experience with it.
Well, the other time I had food poisoning, it came on exactly as you described, very quickly, and it left very quickly. What's, a little worrisome about this is... it came very quickly, but it never really, mm-hmm. I never, you know, after a few days of feeling like this, that's why when I was up north, I called my doctor. I said, you know, maybe it's food poisoning, but maybe I got a parasite or something isn't right. Mm-hmm. But I can also tell you now, after 6 days of this antibiotic, that in between eating, I feel pretty good. So I don't think it's COVID, but something's up. I've also
Your father in his later life develop stomach problems?
Yeah. I was thinking about my dad. Yeah.
I hope this is not genetic.
Maybe. Like my dad had ulcers and my dad was also, you know, smoked well and, you know, he smoked till the week before he died. He drank, you know, not a lot, but he drank constantly every night. I think a lot of what he went through was self, you know, happened to, what's that word I'm looking for, Phil? Self,
what, I can't diagnosis. Help you with words?
No.
You. I don't know words.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Okay. What's the word I'm looking for? Self-generated or self...
Mm-hmm. Self-inflicted. Well,
thank you. Self-inflicted. Thank you, Fred. Yeah. Phil.
Yeah.
Okay, the you know time words.
The odd time I have words.
No, I'm just trying to bring Phil into the conversation.
No, I understand.
Sometimes he just sits there bored.
Once in like, a while, I sit there acting self-fucked.
He's just sitting there.
Look at this. Worst case scenario, you spend the rest of your life, your only diet is boost drinks. That's not so bad.
Sure.
And then you'll never have any trouble going to the bathroom either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got still, we still have some Ensure in the fridge downstairs.
All right, Ensure boost. Yeah, you can live on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's that. We got a lot to catch up on. Our Gig Sky guest of the day is coming up. I want to do some of these emails. I hope you can see them all. There's only like three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to them. Here we go.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Yeah. Did you hear, by the way, I've lost like 3 or 4 pounds. Do I look sick? I feel like I still look sick.
Mm-hmm.
I do look sick?
No.
Hi,
you told me you had lost 3 or 4 pounds, and I wasn't, you know, as I said to you, that's probably not the best way to lose weight. That's all.
No.
Hi, guys. All right.
Can you see the first one of these? What were you laughing about there?
I've lost 30 pounds. What? No, I just say to lose it that way. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I'm sick, but I've lost 30 pounds. Great.
Yeah, Howard's really lost. It's the cancer weight. He's really got the stomach cancer.
Hey, listen, the way I lose weight, there's been a few times over the years when I've lost 20 or some odd pounds, and people do ask, like, is Fred okay? Is Fred okay?
Yeah.
Because there's this tipping point where you go from looking like, oh, you're good, you lost some weight, to you're starting to look sickly.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been more than a few times when people have said, is Howard okay? Is he just, because he... Mm-hmm. So why don't you start us off with the very first email?
This is from Mike Sedij.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, guys. Fred, I was in a Canadian Tire store in Georgetown, saw these purple lights. You have mentioned how they were something you've been looking for some time. So love the show. Kind regards, Mike.
He actually mentions the aisle.
No, I know, Howard, but as, again, it's cut off.
Are you serious?
No, I'm telling you.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. It's cut off on my, so we're on different formats or something.
Well...
But it said, yes, aisle number 82. I assume that, but I wasn't sure.
All right.
But anyway, we got the meat of it.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
I will go and take my suite over there, and we'll buy purple lights.
All right.
Hi, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, guys.
This is an interesting one.
Hi, guys.
It's came from Mike Boone. But it was interesting because Mike... who is our producer, said, this chap wrote me about Brother Bill, but added a few nice words about your show. And he said, another thing I'd like to mention, since you took over, did you ring this, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Since you took over as the producer of Humble and Fred, I'm assuming it has become a much better show. You have made two old pros sound even more professional, and the guests are so much better than before. Great job. Thank you. And yes, I am a Hundy P. Best regards, Ernie Penn. Thank you, Ernie.
Hi, Ernie.
That's nice. Those are nice things to say.
Boone sent that and said, oh, yeah, nice things to be to say about your show. And I thought, no, you had nice things to say about you.
No, I know. But that's just, you know, that's splitting hairs.
Oh, is it?
But Ernie's a Hundy P, man.
Yeah, and, Ernie's great.
And listen, there's no doubt about it that, and I've said this to Mike in our Thursday meeting, that he is doing a great job for us.
Right. And well, obviously, he's making us sound more professional.
I know. I was like, wow.
What more could you want?
Hard to believe.
What?
What? I don't know. What
Who would have thought that was possible?
I know. I was just going to say that. Who would have thought at this age, 126 between us, that we could start to, we would improve. But listen, man. It's all perception, and thank you very much to Ernie. So, can you see all of this email from Chris K?
Almost. Rhymes with, I don't see that.
It just says Nifty 50.
Okay.
Can you see the rest of it?
Yeah, why don't you read it? Just read it.
Because I'm sick.
All right.
I'm sick, that's why.
Hi, guys.
Hold on.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hello, people.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Dear Humble Town Fred.
Welcome back and happy belated birthday to the Fred man. I, too, celebrated a birthday while you were off turning an age that rhymes with nifty. To put that in perspective, I have been listening to you guys since I was 18. Many life changes and events in the 32 years, but regardless of what station or forum you were on, I have followed. I could go on and on about it, but I know you don't like reading long emails. Yeah, love you guys and keep up the great work. Thank you for the 32 years of laughs and for just being there. Chris K, a.k.a. the K-Man, and he lives in Milton. He says he looks forward to the next Patreon Zoom call or hopefully another in-person event one day.
Yeah, we're going to do that. In fact, we should talk about that because there's like 2 or 3 weeks that we're here before we're off again in August. So I think we should do it in that time frame. You can do it from the trailer. I'll do it, you know, on a Thursday night or something here.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, it'd be great. I think we should.
Yeah.
In fact, I think once we get into the fall, maybe like we'll like maybe have a set schedule of them or something.
At least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm still here in the fall, you know, I don't know. Yeah, that's right, Phil. You don't know what this is.
Food poisoning is that bad.
What's that, sir?
That food poisoning was that bad.
Yeah, it's not food poisoning. Mm-hmm. It's some kind of stomach issue. I'll tell you what, though. This is a true story. The following is a true story from the world of healthgage.com. By the way, I don't know if you guys have seen, a lot of people are inquiring and buying the Health Gauge watch, which I'm wearing last night. And again, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I wasn't feeling very well. It's like 11 o'clock at night. I can't sleep. And I took my temperature. It turned out to be fine. Took my blood pressure. Turned out to be fine. And I wanted to see what my resting heart rate was because I was a little bit anxious about the fact that I've been sort of sick now for a week. All of this was done on my watch. The Health Gauge. This is the, I can't remember. Is this the Genesis or the Phoenix? I think this might be the Phoenix. Whatever it is, this is how it works. You can share this information with your healthcare professional. And right now, you can get 15% off promo code HumbleFred15 at healthgauge.com. We'll be catching up with Tim Daniels from Florence, Italy, where he's located. And you should get your Health Gauge, too. You know, the Fred man has it. I got it. Tim Niblett swears by it. The Sherpa. And it's all there for you. Okay?
It was great yesterday. I cut my lawn, and then I cut neighbor John's lawn, and then I vacuumed into my pool, and then I did some other things around the house, and that was over 8,000 steps.
Was it really?
Yeah. You know, I love exercise that you're not conscious of.
No, exactly.
Where it just sort of happens. The exercise is a byproduct of a different interest or... And I was very happy with that because I got my little alarm went off. It set at 8,000 steps. And it went and I thought, wow, 8,000 steps. And I wasn't even thinking, you know, of exercise. Yeah, I'm not thinking of jobs.
I love how you put the little, you know, subtle little Fred flex in there. You know, it's good.
What?
No, you know, I get it. It's just like subtle, hey, you know, cut my neighbor's lawn. I mean, which is great because that's you. You're humanitarian.
You know, it's funny how things change. You know, when you're a kid, you don't want to cut a lawn. You
know.
Here at this age, the only reason I'm cutting his lawn is because I am bored snotless, generally.
I'm just playing with you. You know, by the way.
No, I know. But that's the thing. It's like I'm doing it for probably more self-interest than anything else. It's like, what can I do now? Oh, I'll cut John's lawn.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, not around anymore.
Having given you a very subtle little chirp there, I was actually thinking when you were saying that one of the nicest things you can do, a fella can do for another fella, or a woman fella, because women can be fellas too.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nicest things you can do for somebody else, and I used to do this when I had, when I would borrow my neighbor's snowblower, I would snowblow his driveway if he was out of town, you know, because he let me use his snowblower, and then I would do one on, you know, maybe on one side where, like, the old widow lived.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you borrow his snowblower, you're sort of obligated.
I know.
I'm using my lawn.
I know. You're better. You're so much better than me.
Mm-hmm.
You're beautiful.
Well, let's just establish that.
I know.
There's different levels of nice guy.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody lends you their snowblower, you have to do their driveway.
If that was your snowblower, would you have done his driveway?
Yes, I would. But
oh,
only.
Okay, well, there you go. You pass.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, Fred, can you speaking of the Sherpa, why don't you tell us a little story about the Nibbler?
Well, Tim is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. And Tim, we haven't spoken to him in a couple of weeks now, I guess, and he'll be back tomorrow. If you have a portfolio, you've always wanted someone to have a second look at it, Tim is the guy. You want to build something from scratch, Tim is the guy. If you have any questions about your situation, what you should be doing at this point in your life as far as preparing for retirement, Tim is your guy. He's calm, he's cool, he's collected, he's helped so many Humble and Fred listeners, and all the reviews have been smashing with the Sherpa. We highly recommend his services. Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
Now. I just want to make sure I've got the, there it is. Geek's Guy guest of the day coming up is Noel Kassler today. I don't have that in front of me. God, you know, Phyllis, when you haven't done the show for a while, you know, I mean, I know we're not the most organized at the best of the times, but it's like I wonder, where are my documents gone, Phil?
Well, it's like kids going back to school, right? You spend 2 months without learning, and it's like everything's been jumbled. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. As usual, you're right. Can you resend me the Geek's Guy thing, please? Thank you. Somebody?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We're going to talk about... I know we haven't mentioned a lot of Trump stuff. We're going to get to it. Also... some golf on the weekend. A new superstar emerges. We'll talk about that. Are the NBA finals still going on?
I believe.
Yeah.
I think Milwaukee's on the verge of winning maybe tonight. Got a 3-2 series lead, I believe, on Phoenix. You've put me on the spot. Not following it. No, yeah, don't me care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't really followed much of it. Oh, thank you, Phil.
Game 6 is tomorrow. And 7 if Milwaukee doesn't lead on Thursday.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
another thing we haven't really checked in on is Phil and the adventures of your wife now, a new Canadian or new resident of Canada. How has Pearl been faring living in the Brady Bunch, the Asian Brady Bunch home?
Well, you know that when we spent that week off, there were a couple of weekends where things happened, of course, because as we're heading into stage three, my cousin Mike feels comfortable enough to be able to hold a full ceremony so he can complete his marriage, his process of becoming married to his new wife, Olivia. And so the Saturday of the week we last worked, he booked the Trump Hotel.
What?
So down in Toronto, there's a hotel called the St. Regis. But when we were in the studio together on satellite radio back in the day, it was the Trump Hotel where everyone protested. And so he decided to book the Trump Hotel for two nights, thinking that, you know, this is my last weekend being single, so I might as well do something fun. And so he had a bachelor party where it was just him, Pearl, and I. Yeah.
That was his bachelor party?
Oh, my God. You know, I can't begin to tell you how gaudy a Trump property can be. Like, they had concierges asking if we wanted Diet Coke or something. And it's like, you know, here's my cousin saying, they're going, I bought a full, like, two-bedroom suite because it was the Trump Hotel.
I'm not following the story at all.
Yeah, he spent a bucket load of money thinking that he'll get something. And then to have a really nice bachelor party, probably where he gets drunk or will invite a stripper or something like that. Right. He was expecting one of those. And so he just wound up with just Pearl and I.
Why? Nobody else? Guests. Did he invite other people and they didn't show up?
Pretty much, yeah. He was supposed to bring, there were like, the NBA playoffs were going on. Of course, he was going to use his giant plasma TV in that suite to, you know, show the game to his friends and stuff, his buddies, his pals. Someone was supposed to invite a stripper. That's what I think.
Why didn't anyone show up?
I guess it's COVID-19. They were scared, I guess, from showing up. And so Pearl's fully vaccinated. I had one dose at the time.
Did he not know, excuse my interruption, did he not know in advance that only you and Pearl were going to be at his bachelor party and maybe cancel the St. Regis?
I personally thought that he wasted a lot of money on that hotel, but he says it's worth the $800. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, whatever you like.
So, yeah. So it was supposed to be a Jack and Jill, because call me crazy, but over the years, any bachelor party I've been invited to, I never took my wife.
Yes. And that's because she's a representative of the groom's party. We represent him in traditional Chinese ceremony. Yeah. So he wasn't going to have alcohol, but he'll have at least a party.
But let's go back to the idea that did he not know prior to check-in that it was just going to be you and Pearl sitting around an $800 hotel room?
Yeah.
Did you guys at least stay over?
We stayed at a different hotel. We stayed at the Chelsea up the road because it's like we felt sorry for him. We were supposed to just show up and then go home.
Okay. Again, excuse me, Fred. I'll take this question and then you follow him. So you felt sorry for him.
Yes.
So you didn't stay in his hotel room, which had several bedrooms. You went and got another hotel room rather than go home?
Yeah. I have no other questions. Yeah. Yeah. Even I'm dumbfounded by his idea.
May I just ask why?
I asked why, and he said he just wanted to.
No, why did you need to rent a hotel room downtown rather than just drive home?
Because it felt inappropriate to just leave him there. So we were able to go to the Eaton Center the next day.
Yeah, but you did leave him there. You left him alone in an $800 hotel room.
After having dinner, of course, and he ordered a slice of cake, and we at least I was there for him rather than, you know, just go home for no reason. But this past weekend was his tea ceremony. So that's stage two of the cousin Mike thing. And we had to go to his wife's house to beg her family to bring him in. And that was successful. Thank goodness. And so the problem with them as a couple is it's like they only know Pearl and I. So we've been invited to a bunch of things in August. Like I'm like you guys. I like to stay in a basement.
Excuse me here. I've just sort of half been listening here. Mike's mate, was she there?
At the bachelor's? No, but the tea ceremony, yes. Yes.
But why wasn't she there then? If Pearl went on Saturday night to the former Trump Hotel, why wasn't she?
She had her bachelorettes. So
why didn't Pearl go to that?
Anyway, it's all.
Yeah, that seems to make too much sense.
Yeah, because Pearl doesn't speak English.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And she'd rather be with the groom's quarters because we're part of the groom's family, and that's what she thought.
All right.
Yeah, but weren't you showing pornos and stuff?
No. We were watching the golf.
You watched the Open Championship, did you?
I swear, I saw someone hit a ball. That's what I remember, because it was on mute and Mike wanted to talk for the entire day.
You know, years ago, when it was the Trump Hotel, one night I was downtown, me and Dahl and my buddy Darren and his wife Lori, and we decided to slide in there and just have a look around, and we went right up to the top where the bar was and everything, and the atmosphere was pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet.
Early on in that hotel's life in Toronto, you sort of got this really cool vibe. We didn't stay long. I think the drinks were like $24 each or something.
Yeah.
And that was before. That was when Trump was just like a comic character, right?
Yeah. Do you remember, it was you and I and Dahl went to the top of the...
The Rainbow Room.
The Rainbow Room, which doesn't exist anymore, at the top of the 30 Rock in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I had a beer. I just remember the drinks that the girls had were like $20 each, and the beers were 15 or something. Mm-hmm. And we were going to eat there, and then you and I quickly decided that if that's how much the pre-dinner drinks were going to be, we should go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. That's what we did.
But the atmosphere was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could spend the rest of the show unpacking and pivoting around this whole story you just told. But I don't have the energy because my stomach is bugging me.
But you guys are correct about the Trump Hotel. Like, he wanted to order, Mike ordered a slice of cake, a slice of chocolate cake.
Yeah.
It had gold leaf in it. It was like a kilogram. It was really heavy. $45.
Hmm. Well. So what does Mike do that he can afford to spend $1,000? Like, can I just ask a question? Was that suite really like $800?
No.
What
Fairmont Royal York was half price that night. Now, that's the worst part about it.
No, I know.
The Queen stays at a cheaper hotel.
So what was the cost of the room?
Well, of the Trump Hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was $800.
I just asked you that. Was it $800? You said no.
No. What I'm saying is, it wasn't worth the cost.
No, I'm asking you if it was actually $800.
It was.
Okay.
Seven something plus taxes.
So what does this young man, again, prior to checking in, he must have gotten some RSVPs or whatever, some response from his friends saying, I can't make it.
Yeah, they canceled within 3 or 4 days of his cancellation.
Okay, so within 3 or 4 days, he knew there was just going to be you, Pearl, and him. And he still has... What kind of money does he have?
Spend pharmacy money. Yeah. He's just saved up enough, and he thinks this is a special day, and that's what matters, right? And
you know what?
It's like Bridezilla, right?
What concerns me on Mike's behalf is that everybody canceled except for you. Like, everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody, Phil?
Yes.
Like, that can be just psychologically damaging...
Exactly.
It was just unhelpful for him because most of his friends also know his wife because they're coworkers, which means there were a lot of friends who would show up but went to the bachelorettes. So in other words, he was just in a tight corner like that.
I guess I'm just still stuck in the fact that he spent $1,000 to stay in a room by himself, and you didn't even stay in that room, which you could have.
Even I'm dumbfounded. You remember when I used to go to the States to buy stuff? I usually take him with me, and we argue about the cost of a hotel room being $50, let alone $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the whole thing's a bit fishy to me. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Let's get Noel, and let's get Noel here. Noel, turn your camera on if you don't mind, sir.
This is the gigs.
There he is.
This is the gigs guy guest of the day. Should I give a little Gigs Guy shout out here first?
Well, let me just say the Gigs Guy guest of the day, or our guest today, is brought. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a sponsor of guests now. Well, it's our old sponsor, but we've Our guest today is brought to you by GigSky, the only worldwide mobile data provider with affordable rates in over 190 countries. Download the app today for Android or iOS. We'll get to Noel Kassler making his regular Humble and Fred Show appearance, graciously hanging out with us once a month, and talk about all things. Actually, Noel's going on tour, and we're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about if you're touring around, how GigSky can help you.
Well, that's right, Howard. Canada, you know, could be opening the border soon, which means you need to start preparing for that long-awaited trip, whether you're off to the tropics, heading to Europe, just plan to make your way down south. You'll need a mobile data provider to keep you connected while you're there. Download the GigSky app for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries. It's the easiest, most affordable, and convenient way to stay connected internationally. So whether you're looking for directions, a restaurant, a bar, anything like that, you've got the data. And it's very reliable and very, very affordable. Download the GigSky app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan. Or go to GigSky.com for more information.
All right. When we first met this gentleman, it was, oh, my God, he's worked with Donald Trump. He knows all sorts of things. He's the first person I ever met that said Donald Trump poops himself. I don't even know. Here's my thing. I've never even cared if it's true, but in my mind, it is true. Please welcome back to our program. About to embark on the unverified tour. You can see him in Annapolis, Maryland, I guess, on September 16th, and Norwalk, Connecticut, on November 18th. Welcome back, Noel Kassler. Look at you!
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man.
Good to be here. And it is true, by the way, Humble. It's very, very true.
Every person I meet that has a Trump conversation with me, I say, I know this guy that used to work with Trump. He tells me that Trump poops himself. Hey, dude, before we get to Trump, because we were off last week. I was at a cottage, and I read Michael Wolff's final book of the trilogy called Landslide, and I want to talk to you about that. But first, let's talk about you. Are you well? Are you healthy? You're living outside of New York, but you go to the city every day or so, and you're working in the world. What are you doing?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm getting back in the groove, you know. As I said, I got that tour coming up, you know. Annapolis is the kickoff in September. I'm doing Norwalk later in the fall, and I'm filling in a bunch of dates after that.
Are these comedy clubs, Noel? Are they
music clubs? The Ram's Head is a legendary music venue in Annapolis. Last time I was there was with Stephen Stills 10 years ago, and Norwalk is the Wall Street Theater. Mavis Staples is playing it before me. I'm kind of more of a music club theater kind of guy. Just because, not because of my massive popularity, just because that's the world I know. You know how comedy clubs are, and they're cool. Sure, but sure. I like, you know, a lot of my comedy is telling stories of my life on the road with bands and stuff. So it fits in with that demographic. It's not all Trump.
Yeah, for sure. But I just want to talk a little bit about, so you're going to do, and Fred, I was going to mention this, Smartless guys are coming to town. Did you know this? Yeah.
Yes.
They're going on tour. So when you take Noel Kassler, that's you, by the way, when you go on tour, like what are you going to do? Because you're going to, people just ask, you're going to do your stand up? Are you doing like time? What are you doing?
I'm going to do my stand up. You know, it's basically an hour stand up show with kind of storytelling and stuff. You know, elements of the podcast and the car rants that I do are very popular, you know, and I'll do some audience work. Everyone's welcome to yell out anything. You know, if you want to hear about, you know, Trump, you know, pooping himself, it's very true. And I'm willing to go into detail and give you some facts about that. No. You know, it's going to be a good time. You know, it's an extenuation of what we've all gone through in the last year, what I've discussed, and you know, also getting back to laughter. And as I said, a lot of those stories from the road, because there's a lot of positive things that happened too, that I think a lot of us lost sight of. And it's time to start kind of rocking out again.
No, for sure. And you know, I know you were recently on our buddy and our producer Toronto Mike's podcast, and I meant to listen to it because I know that it's you were on for a couple hours, and talked a lot about some of the stuff that you've talked about on our show. But I also was reminded that you've been on the road, or you have produced and staged managed a bunch of big acts in your career. Tell a story of working. Was it with U2 you worked with, or Bono?
Yeah, we did tons. I've done a bunch of stuff with U2, and we got into that deep on Toronto Mike's show. He got me like telling Neil Young stories. U2, my favorite memory was they played on Barack Obama's first inauguration, and we did this big concert for HBO at the Lincoln Memorial on the Mall. And I was sort of standing there as U2 was playing with Barack Obama and his family behind me, President Obama. And my friend Danny Clinch, the legendary photographer, came over and saw me and like decided to take a picture. Like, we're friends. So he starts to take my picture, and I make a peace sign, and he starts to freak out behind me, and he's like moving his camera and stuff. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, dude, Bono saw you giving the peace sign, came over to you, took the peace sign, and then gave it out to the crowd of like, and I'm like, no way, you know? So it was moments like that that sort of made a lot of it worth it. You know, I also worked with Madonna and Michael Jackson and all the kind of, you know, get all the brown M&Ms out of my dressing room kind of thing. Like, I was at the height of that. Britney Spears, who's in the news a lot now, like, I did all those VMAs when she had a snake and was kissing Madonna. You know, that I was there for all of that. You know, the boy band era was my bread and butter. I was in my 30s and sort of the prime.
And just remind people, what were you, a road manager, a producer?
I was a road manager for bands on the road, you know, so Crosby, Stills and Nash, Jackson Brown. I worked with the Stones, Springsteen. That stuff is road managing. That's one-on-one working with a band and traveling. 90% of my career, you know, or 80% is live television talent logistics, which is talent wrangling. A simple, description is I'm the guy with the headset coming to your dressing room saying it's time to go to stage now. You know, please put on your Depends, Mr. Trump, he's shooting live, you know. It's that kind of stuff. And it's that stuff that had me handling Ivanka and all the Trump family, you know, because that was just a gig. It was like I did the Tony Awards. I did the Super Bowl halftime show. If, you know, your viewers obviously watch that. Those were my regular gigs. NBA All-Star Game. I was up there in Toronto freezing my butt off a few years ago for that.
Easy now there, okay, America? Just relax.
It was so cold, dude.
Oh, please.
Yeah, but don't you live in upstate New York?
I do, man, but something
there's
about
no
that.
Difference. No, there's no difference.
I'm telling you, that particular week, my hotel across the street from whatever that arena was, and I was cold. I'm sorry.
All right. I'll give you that.
Madonna, how close would you have gotten to her? She's a person, I've never really been big on her music, to be honest, but there's just something about her that I find cool and attractive and neat. Is she? Is that what she's like, or is she one of those don't look me in the eye people? Did I not hear those stories or something?
She is that person. You know, I've done a ton of gigs with her, and I should shut up because I work with people that worked with her still, but who cares? You know, so she was like, she used to have a woman that she paid to walk in front of her, and when she'd come around backstage, they'd be like, Madonna's coming through. Turn your head and don't look at her. And I swear to God, and the first time it happened to me was in the basement of Radio City, and I was in the green room, and I was standing next to George Clooney and Tommy Hilfiger, right? Mm-hmm. And this woman comes by and says it, and I look at George, and I'm like, dude, you know, if you can't look at her, I sure can't look at her. And, you know, and he goes, let's eyeball her. And he comes down to my height, you know, because I'm short. And he like, she walks by and we like eyeball her and high five. Mm-hmm. But she was probably, and I last worked with her at the VMAs in 2017. One-on-one, you would find her kind of cool. You know, music is kind of secondary to what her mm-hmm. act is. It's just about like the reinvention. And, you know, she means a lot to a lot of people and they enjoy her music, quote unquote. But it's more about somebody like that is difficult because there's a big team working with them. And a lot of people are difficult on behalf of their artists to justify their jobs. And by the time you get to the artist, they're actually can be kind of cool. You know, but
you know, we found that over the years when we would have big stars on the show that their entourage or the people ahead of them, their, you know, publicity team, they were all kind of prickish, but the actual stars themselves were cool. I just listened to the Clooney episode when he was on with the Smartless guys. Mm-hmm. He just seems like a regular, a real prankster too. Did you listen to that episode? He's always pulling pranks and shit on people.
Oh, the cat shit story is amazing.
Mm-hmm. But so you were around him. He seems like a decent guy.
Super cool guy. One of the coolest guys ever, and a legendary prankster, and really in on the joke. And you know, he has that best thing that you can have as a celebrity. He's not afraid to laugh at himself. You know, and you love that as an audience, because here's this great looking guy who's got a gazillion dollars and a big house in Lake Como, and he's not afraid to be the punchline.
Yeah.
You know, and you love guys like that. So he's also very involved politically. I did a big benefit with him for Haiti, you know, after that horrible hurricane in 2008, I think it was. Mm-hmm. The country was destroyed and nobody was paying attention. And he organized a massive benefit that we did with all these great musical acts and stuff.
You know what I think you find with these? A guy like George Clooney, a guy whose sort of fame comes later and he had to do a lot of scratching and clawing and fighting to get where he was, they have a much better perspective and they're way more grounded than the child stars.
Well said. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, I mean, he was on Facts of Life and stuff. You know, he was like in every B movie forever until he got ER. Mm-hmm. You appreciate it because you know how lucky you are. You know, and the inverse is that I worked with a lot of rock stars from like the 60s era, right? I've met Paul McCartney. I've done shows with him, Graham Nash. The dudes from England are always super chill. Mm-hmm. And their counterparts that grew up in America are spoiled. Like the boomers that came of age in America when they become rock stars and famous in their 20s, more or less become monsters for the rest of their career, you know, because they already, you know, David Crosby grew up in Beverly Hills. His dad was an Oscar winning cinematographer. So then he's a rock star at 21. The guys only had it good. A guy like Paul McCartney or Graham Nash, you know, grew up in Liverpool and Manchester. If they weren't rock stars, they would have been working in a mine or a factory or something, because England didn't get that economic boost that America did that sort of spoiled us.
I was away for a week, Noel, and I listened to, I don't know, a bunch of episodes, a bunch of Smartless episodes, including the McCartney one. Mm-hmm. And again, we're both, Freddie and I are huge Beatle fans, and McCartney especially. He just seems, even at 78 or 79, have you heard that episode, Fred?
Where Howard.
He talked, have you heard about the Smartless?
Howard.
McCartney talked about, it was really interesting, Noel, maybe you can relate to this because you've been around so many celebrities. McCartney says there's the McCartney that's famous, that's the guy from the Beatles, and then there's just this guy, Paul, from Liverpool.
Dude.
And I was struck by that, and I thought, you know, that's what an interesting perspective. And when he goes out, McCartney said he sort of has to put that on. It's like, oh, yeah, there's the famous Beatle. But the rest of the time, he's just this guy that, you know, grew up in a pretty humble, you know, place.
In a super humble place. And he's absolutely that guy. He lives near me in New York City, you know, and he'll just go jogging every day. And you'll see him like jogging up Madison Avenue and stuff. I shouldn't say near where he lives, but, you know, it's not a huge secret. He'll be jogging and I'll notice him sometimes and people won't notice him. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Look, can I tell you the story of the first time I met him, how humble he is? And I've did a lot of stuff with him, from big concerts in Hyde Park where Crosby, Stills and Nash opened for him, to like, you know, big benefits in New York. The first time I met him was on a VH1 show at a theater in Madison Square Garden called the Paramount. And he was honoring his daughter, Stella, who's a fashion photographer. It was a VH1 Fashion Awards. And I was escorting James Brown, the soul singer, James Brown, right? And it was live and Dick Clark was the producer. And basically you had a commercial break and my job was to get James Brown across the stage and back outside to his dressing room. And I'm crossing the stage and James stops to talk to somebody, you know? And I'm like, we don't have time. Like Dick Clark is over the thing. Like, all right, we're back in two, come on, places. And I'm like, move, James. And somebody goes, hey, do you see who he's talking to? And I pop around and it's Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. And he goes, hey, I'm Paul. And just sticks out his hand, you know?
Wow.
So he's the chillest guy. Last time I saw him, he's like, give my love to Graham. He's very, you know, down to earth. And as I said, it comes from that British kind of thing. Not that they were all humble, like Keith Moon was probably not that well adjusted, but the ones that didn't get caught up in the insanity of it.
Sirius XM, a couple of weeks ago, it was, I think, the 50th anniversary of the album Ram. Now, when I was a kid, I absolutely loved that album from beginning to end. Anyway, McCartney, on Sirius, It was they played the whole album, and he talked about every track on the album. And from that, you really got that sense of, again, a grounded guy whose family and just being a normal person, the most important thing in his life. He talked about, you know, when they went to Scotland, right? After the breakup, the Beatles and everything. He put everything on hold. It's a great listen if you get the chance.
Absolutely. And he's a great example of like what's important in life. You know, nobody was more famous than the Beatles. You know, I mean, these guys were basically gods, you know, and it happened to them when they were like 20 years old, 19 and 20. You know, and Graham Nash knew him when they were 16. He would tell me stories on the tour bus of like their first tours together where it was like the Beatles, the Stones and the Hollies driving around in cars, you know, in the early 60s before they broke. And so if anybody could have been arrogant, it would have been Paul. And he just never bought into the hype because he knows what's important. Music, family, kind of taking care of the planet.
Well, you know, getting back to what he was talking about in this interview, I just, excuse me, just listened to it a few days ago. And I think his ability to see both the famous Paul and the regular Paul, I think that sort of did it. Like, he was able to separate who he really was from this fame that had been thrust upon him. And as you say, you know, Freddie and I have had this conversation. Those 300 Beatles songs that they wrote together basically were between 16 and 30. You know, it's like, what were the rest of us doing in our 20s? Well, I was doing speed with some lesbian that lived next door to me in Los Angeles. That's what I was doing.
I wonder if I wonder if Paul jogs by the Dakota, though, or he steers clear of that. Yeah, for many reasons, you know.
Another side of town, man. Another side of town.
Yeah. Noel Kassler's with us, of course. One of the initial reach out. I've been following Noel on Twitter, and of course, being you know, part of the real world that found the whole Trump presidency, you know, somewhat ludicrous. I noticed that, you know, Noel was this guy. Did a little research, reached out, and he's been on our show ever since. Probably now over a year. And I like the fact that we're not just talking about Trump anymore, because there's so much more to you and so many more experiences you've had. Having said that, I just finished reading, it's called Landslide, The Final Days of the Trump Presidency. And I wish I had a better recall of some of the most ludicrous parts of it. But here we are today in 2021. I've had this conversation with Fred. Probably have had it with you too, Noel. In March of 2020... if you can kind of look back and think of all the things that were going to be surprising, and every time I think of this, I come up with a new version of this, and I'm getting to the point. The thing that surprises me now the most is that in America today, there are people that won't take the vaccine in about 13 states, and you can name them all, Alabama, Missouri, et cetera, you know, that won't take the vaccine because of political reasons. And now this variant is running rampant through the country again, and you can trace it all back to one man.
Yep. To one man who was out of his mind, who only cared about himself. And that's what's in the Michael Wolff book. I've read some of the excerpts, and it's the same stuff I was saying, which was trying to warn people like, look, anybody who's ever worked with this guy behind the scenes knows he is completely out of his mind. You know, like, it's not just about like the Adderall and this stuff. That's a symptom of a dude who's deeply concerned and only thinking about himself 24/7 and willing to throw his kids under the bus. Humanity, it doesn't matter. Yesterday, he had a statement saying basically don't take the vaccine, right? Because he knows it'll hurt Biden politically. He's willing to kill people. Yeah. You know, Florida has 20% of the cases in America right now of the Delta variant. And the governor of Florida is selling merch. You know, he's selling T-shirts saying, don't Fauci my Florida. They've made ignorance a political tool and a lifestyle brand. OK, and these are cynical men. Like, Trump doesn't care about his followers' well-being. He cares about staying out of jail and grifting as much money out of them as he can. And the people love it because they were very successful in driving a wedge between Americans. You're a liberal. I'm a MAGA dude. We're never going to get along. I'm not taking your medicine. What? You know what I mean? No, it's insane. You're going to die. And they are going to die. You know, like people are dying. All the hospitals are full in Missouri, you know, and there's even stories of people like getting mad at the nurses that are coming over and telling them they have COVID. Yeah. Like there was a case where somebody spit in the nurse's face when she told the guy he had, you know.
Dude, let me just interject. In the Times, the New York Times on the weekend, there was a story. I was telling Freddie this yesterday briefly, but there were three women, again, in one of those 12 or 13 states, Arkansas. You can just name them. And three women in their mid-60s and early 70s, Freddie, that got COVID, went to the hospital, were on ventilators, and still didn't want the fucking vaccine. Now, right. That is a level of derangement that is, you can't argue somebody out of that.
No. Sorry, Fred.
No. I'm reluctant with this stuff because some of that's going on in Canada, too. But it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It's got everything to do with conspiracy and the man and, you know, the powers that be.
Yeah.
You know, W5, it's sort of our 60 Minutes up here, Noel. And they had a great feature on Saturday night, whenever it was. And it was anybody who's an anti-vaxxer. That's not the issue in their life, anti-vax. It's something else, and that's how it manifests. And I think that's the way it is with Donald Trump, too. A lot of his supporters, it's not so much Donald Trump they love. It's what he represents, the okay to be racist, the okay to be intolerant, the okay to be against someone and actually say it. But this goes on and on. You know, I also heard on the weekend that the best thing that Donald Trump could do for his country right now, and apparently Joe Biden is into this, actually have a public service announcement where Biden is with Trump encouraging people to get the vaccine, which Donald Trump has gotten.
Yeah.
He got the vaccine.
Of course he did.
Right.
But what that would do for the country, if Donald Trump could just go on television tomorrow, stand beside Biden collectively, wouldn't that be a great unifying thing?
Yeah, but he would never do that.
I know he wouldn't do that. But it's just so frustrating because it just, you know, it just spotlight how evil he is.
Absolutely. Yeah. How evil he is and how perceptive he is in what you said, Fred. You made an excellent point. It's not about Trump. It's about Trump representing anger and racism and this sense of agreement. You know, the people that support Trump are the people who feel like they got left behind.
Yeah.
And in many cases, they did economically, but they can't fully understand the complexities of why. Right. You know, they were actually sold out by Republicans during the Reagan era, you know, and when when corporate interests became the really important thing to their governing powers, and they moved all these corporations overseas and the factories went with them, and then these people got left behind in these red states. So Trump comes along and is like, I'm going to tell you why that happened and make it great again. No, he's not. He's going to kill you and deplete your funds and leave your states in ruin. But in the meantime, you're going to get to wave a flag and go to a rally and feel better about your life in the moment. And that's toxic, and it's also irresistible to certain people. I don't know how you – sorry.
No, you can finish your sentence.
I don't know how – I think that's only going to change within a few generations. I think a lot of these people are beyond redemption at a certain point. And I mean that in terms of, like, you're not going to change these minds.
Oh, no, I said that. There's no – it's not even a debate. It used to be, like, Republicans were sort of against big government, and Democrats and liberals in Canada were for more government, involvement. And then you could have a conversation about that. But after reading this book, and I've read I read the Mary Trump book, and I read Bob Woodward's book. And what I wanted to say, you said that he's evil. I don't know. Having read this last book, my takeaway was he's less evil and more, and I want to say this respectfully, he is almost retarded. Do you know? You know what I mean? I don't mean to be flip when I say that. I mean, he's almost, from what you read, like up till the moment of the insurrection, which again the Republican Party is trying to pretend it didn't happen, but on that day he still, Freddie, I can't tell you how many chapters were devoted to people trying to explain to the president that you could not decertify these electoral votes. That Mike Pence the night before said, Mr. President, I'm not going to be able to do this. So when I say, it's almost like he's a slow adult, like he couldn't comprehend that, Noel. So to me, that's less evil and more sort of like, how did this guy get elected as the president?
Well, that's my point. He is. I mean, he has a learning disability that they covered up his whole life. You know, he's dyslexic and he can't really read well. So he never got an education. His parents paid for all his grades. He was a maladjusted youth. You know, he used to throw rocks at the neighbor's baby. Yeah. Like, he's a bad seed in many ways. And he is evil in terms of it's a true story. It's in the wild.
Who hasn't done that?
I know. Every time you say it, though, it's like, what? He threw rocks at a baby?
Yeah, he did.
That's how, by the way, that is really the litmus test for how fucked up you are when your kids are throwing rocks at babies.
There was a jumper, you know, the rompers you put outside. Like the little pen. So the neighbors next door to him in Jamaica Estates, Queen, put their baby in the backyard and Trump would be in his yard and they caught him throwing rocks at the baby.
What did you want to say, Freddie? I was trying to get you in there.
No, I just want to make this point, you know, because here I... You know, we haven't talked about Donald Trump, and he's sort of been out of my mind most of the summer as I've done other things, and it's been a really nice feeling. And then here we are talking about him again, and I sort of get that knot in my stomach. And I would say this to you, Howard, you're reading another book. Like, at what point do you stop bringing on the aggravation? Like, I don't even know if I'd want to read that book you read for that reason, the way it would make me feel. The same reason I got off social media. It doesn't make me feel very good.
No, I hear you.
And nothing we can do about Donald Trump at this point, especially as Canadians are in the United States, is going to change anything. So the more you read, the more it just angers you. And
I understand.
What can you do about it?
I have, like you, stopped, you know, not that I still follow Noel. But I have stopped sort of going and visiting, you know, Hannity and Carlson and all this stuff. I've stopped listening to Fox News, but I am fascinated by it. And I knew Noel was going to be here today. So that's why we're talking about it. And if you hadn't been on the show today, Noel, I would have mentioned it to Freddie, but I'm not getting wrapped up in it the way we both once did. But Noel, it's hard not to be fascinated by it in a more detached, less personal way by just, and I don't know if you will ever get around to reading it, but I will tell you, it is fascinating how dysfunctional, not only him, but the entire group around him. And you mentioned the kids. Even Kushner, toward the end, was trying to distance him and Ivanka. They didn't move to Mar-a-Lago. They moved about 90 miles away strategically to stay away from Daddy, who they all, and you can confirm this, Noel, they all think he's fucking nuts too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they hate him. You know, the whole family can't stand him. That's the thing about Donald Trump. Even the people that have allegiance to him hate him behind the scenes. And you're, because that's what you describe is what it is. It's trying to explain to this guy, no, you can't do that. You can't have a coup. You know, General Milley's revelations last week where he had to get other people in the Pentagon to say, look, this guy's going to start a coup to stay in power. That's insane. You know, I'm with you guys. I'm sick of talking about it, too. Unfortunately, I can't because it's not over. He still commands these like legions of people. But everyone should think about that. An American president was going to try and have a coup. And when they called him on it last week, when he was busted on it because it came out in these books, his response was, well, if I was going to do a coup, I wouldn't be doing it with General Milley. You know, it wasn't that would never happen. I'm an American president. I respect democracy. Mm-hmm. He was like, no. It's the same way when he gets the sexual assault charges. He's like, well, look at her. She's not my type. It's not like, no, I'm not a racist. A rapist. How dare you say that? It's like, well, if I was going to rape somebody, it wouldn't be her.
No, I know.
Like,
it's so insane, weird.
You know,
here's another problem perpetuating this. I read this theory over the weekend. It's not even a theory. It's the truth. CNN won't give up on Donald Trump because he's good for ratings. The less they talk about Donald Trump, the more they suffer ratings-wise. Fox News continues to promote him from the positive side because they're afraid of bleeding viewers to OAN and Newsmax now, which are gaining strength. So you have these news establishments just like making the situation worse for monetary reasons, nothing else. They don't care about their fucking country. You know, and I would have watched CNN before Fox, but their insistence in talking about Donald Trump on the negative side is for ratings, and Fox talks about the positive side for ratings.
Yeah.
And where is it getting us other than frustrated?
Well, now you're really getting into the heart of the matter. Okay. Jeff Zucker was the head of NBC Universal, NBC Entertainment, when I worked on Celebrity Apprentice. He's now the head of CNN. Anything I'm telling you, Jeff Zucker knew in 2015, right? Mm-hmm. But he didn't talk about it. He made a bigger star out of Trump, you know, put on the debates because they saw in 2015, hey, Trump's going out there at these Republican debates, calling other dudes Little Marco and insulting the host. And people are tuning in July. You know, normally people wouldn't be watching this stuff and he was ratings gold. CNN is the worst actor in that bunch because they'll put on the Republican anti-vaxxers. You know, Chris Cuomo will have them on in prime time. That's a whole cynical thing. CNN is into Trump. Okay. Jeff Zucker has another big house in the Hamptons thanks to Donald Trump, and he knows everything about who Donald Trump really is.
Listen, man, I hate to do this because we're just getting started, and half an hour's gone by just like that, and it'll be another month and we'll get back together with you. I want everyone to know, Noel, just give me a couple quick, if you want to follow him on Twitter, as I do, it's at Noel Castler.
Yeah, it's actually at Castler Noel.
At Castler Noel, thank you.
And I have NoelCastler.com, so one-stop shopping, even though I'm not selling you anything except for a ticket, you know?
I want everyone to go to Noel's Unverified Tour, Annapolis, Maryland, on September 16th, and Norwalk, is that it?
Norwalk, yes, sir. Right. It's a suburb of New York City.
Okay. Yeah. Easy now.
It's nice. No, I'm saying like
and,
Norwalk.
And we're blessed to have Noel with us in our camp. If you want to catch up on a deeper dive, Noel's episode of Toronto Mic'd podcast is available at Mic'd site. And again, Fred, I know I respect what you're saying about not getting excited or caught up in the Trump mania again. But I can tell you, just as sort of a really good commentary, discussion, whatever you have, a look at the Trump land, it's called landslide. It's the last. It starts basically at the end of the election to the insurrection, and that my biggest takeaway was he's less evil and just dumb. He's just a dumb guy.
You know, on Fox, just to mention Fox News again. You know, every night they're promoting someone who has written a book about what a great guy Donald Trump is, what he's done for the country, and how he's been misunderstood.
Yeah.
My point being, we're never going to get anywhere with this because there's this side and there's that side, and they are so polarized. For every book against Trump, there's one for him.
Yeah,
like it's that word frustration comes back because you know the truth.
And the thing is, Noel, I hope everybody is safe, you know, and you stay safe. You're vaccinated, I'm sure. You know, here in Canada, I think we had 300 cases in the entire country. In the last couple of days, mainly because our country Canada just passed the U.S. a couple days ago in total vaccinations of population, whatever percentage. And that's why the variant hasn't spread here the way it is in all those states.
Yeah. And good for you. You know, good for you. Stay safe, get vaxxed, and enjoy your lives. There's more to life than Donald Trump, as we all know.
Exactly. I can't wait to have you back on the show, Noel. All the best to you, young man.
You got it, brother. Thank you, guys. It's always a blast. I love this show.
Thank you. Thanks. And by the way, also thanks for you're a pro. Thanks for retweeting and tweeting about us. It really makes a difference, and we appreciate it. Okay, pal?
I love this show, and so do my fans. You know, I a lot of my followers now watch you guys, and they love you. And my friends in Canada love it when I'm on here. So.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. Take care, young man. Take care. All right. Just a couple minutes now. We're going to get another guest on. So in the meantime, Freddie, let's talk a little bit about the Chamber Plan, shall we?
Yes, we shall. The Chamber Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Okay, it's the leading group benefit plan in Canada for small businesses, you know, say 1 to 100 employees. You know, they got it all. All you have to do is go to chamberplan.ca, and there's a badge there. Get a free quote. Find out exactly what it would cost your small company to look after your people. It's very doable. I mean, 30,000 Canadian businesses are part of this. They've been around for 40 years, and collectively, they can be competitive when it comes to premiums and what it will cost you, again, to look after your people, because basically, that's what you're doing. It's dental insurance and
medicine, travel insurance, all kinds of therapies, depending on the program that you buy into. Again, take the time today. Go to chamberplan.ca. Find out what it's all about. Find out what you can do with your business when it comes to group insurance. It's doable. Chamberplan.ca.
You know, we were talking about vaccinations. Every day, more and more people across this great province of Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada approved vaccines conveniently available, you know, pretty much everywhere now. Hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. Every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. I got to tell you really quickly, Freddie, here at Islington and the Queensway, where our office is, came back from up north on Saturday, and Rachel and I drove up Islington and over to our left, where the Queen, where the Cineplex Odeon is, parking lot filled with people going to the movies. Once again, join millions of Ontarians. Do your part and get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the government of Ontario. Look at you, Angela. Angelina. Angelina Blessed is with us. Hello, Angelina. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good morning. How are you guys today?
Oh, we're great. Very man. Good. Now, Angelina, when's the last time you were with us? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Maybe 2 years now. Yes.
I was going to say, you were probably here prior to COVID because you were in the studio with us. Yes.
I was. Yeah. Yes. Around humans. I was.
Weird. So I don't know if you heard, just saying to Freddie, I saw the movie theaters opening.
Apparently life is back to normal. Yeah.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
I went into a restaurant for the first time on Saturday night to actually go inside the restaurant, and you know, and I said to Rachel, my love, I said, it's sort of neat. I'd forgotten that there's kind of a, there's like an, like a feeling of being around people. And it's been nice. How's your pandemic been?
Oh, it's been ups and downs for sure. So it's just been like a first year of kind of like manic training, not really sure what to do with myself. And then the second half has been more about like a little more healing and wellness and just taking a little bit better care of myself and getting to focus on the business a little bit more. Yeah. So,
And that's some wicked body art you have there, I can see on your leg.
Thank you very much. Yes, wow. It's almost a three-quarter suit at this point. So
nice.
Very lucky.
If people don't remember, Angelina Blessed is the founder of the Blessed brand. And you work with, I think, the Valens company. But you're also a former professional Muay Thai. Is that how you pronounce it? Muay Thai?
Muay Thai
fighter. Muay Thai. And what does that mean? First question. And second question, how quickly would you take Fred and I to the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start there. Very quickly.
All right.
I've done Muay Thai for, it's almost 20 years now. So I've been very lucky that I've
since
been
you were 10, is that what you're saying? Since you were 10 or 12, yes?
Yeah, since I've been 10, yeah, my coach would have said the same thing. I really do believe that Muay Thai has kept me very young, so that's really cool. Muay Thai for me has just been a really great way to kind of like heal myself in some ways, and that's been really cool. So there's the Muay Thai aspect. I've had 12 professional fights, and mostly in Thailand, China, Mexico, and so that really led me into a lot of body pain and a lot of recovery being needed. So that's how I started to first kind of play with cannabis. And then from there, fast forward years later, we've now are in contract with the licensed producer Valens out in Kelowna, and we have SKUs that are in stability testing right now. So we're really, really excited about being able to go from the legacy market to the legal market. And
where does this leave? Like, again, I'm reading some of the notes as we're talking, but I also trying to remember, like, are you selling cannabis wellness products? Give the audience who haven't met you before a little background.
Basically, I wasn't using cannabis at all like 7 years ago. I smoked a bit of weed in high school and then kind of started my journey as an athlete. So I really thought that recovery was just taking a day off or, you know, I wasn't even really taking many days off back then. We kind of were under the premise of go hard or go home. So we went hard. And it was really about having to learn to slow things down and figure out how to recover. So that's when I started to play with some I was watching all the boys at the gym. They were all smoking weed and, you know, training and fighting and doing all of those things. And I was caught in the stigma of it all in my head. So I started to play with the oils and butters. I didn't really want to smoke weed, but it really did make a massive difference in how I was feeling, the rest I was getting. And so then I really realized the recovery process was incredibly important. What I saw on the market at the time for edibles was not conducive to my diet and how I wanted to feed myself. So I just saw there were like a lot of really high-end sugar products on the market. So we really had to, I really just started to play with healthier products, kind of keto, high fat, vegan, just a little healthier wellness products. And so then I'd be able to have, say, a square of chocolate to get the proper dosage in instead of having to consume an entire chocolate bar. And that's what made sense for me. People, you know, that's sure, we'd all love to eat a chocolate bar. But if I can get the proper dosage in one or two squares, then that seemed really great for me. So my kind of what I'm trying to do is produce healthier products that will just make people feel a little more like themselves.
You know, there's someone behind you. Is that is that person known to you? Do you know who that is?
Yes, this person is known to me.
I just want I just didn't want this to be one of those like horror movie things where all of a sudden a shadowy figure comes into the frame.
This dark shadowy figure.
And I'm like, does she know that there's somebody's in the house with her?
Yes, someone is in the house with me.
All right.
My partner,
okay.
Nate. Yes.
All right. Just as long as everyone knows.
Yeah, he looks a little scary. He's a MMA fighter, so he.
All right. Okay. Everybody's an MMA fighter.
Everybody's a fighter. I know.
Do you think? What do you think Conor McGregor took after breaking his leg?
hopefully a little bit of humble pie.
Yeah.
Hopefully
kidding.
Hopefully a big slice of humble pie. But
go ahead, Freddie.
Him.
No, I was going to say, he produces a scotch called Proper 12. I imagine he drank a few bottles of that. That was something else.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Angelina, where do we get these products? I know that part of the reason you're here is that the Valens Company is, you're doing some stuff with them. But in just in general, if I want to know more about you, which yes. I do. All right, Nate. Tell Nate to just, hey, Nate, just give us a second. Do you think, how quickly, can you take Nate?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Really? Yeah, he's tough, huh?
He's tough.
What do you want? I know the Blessed brand is out there. And if someone listening is saying, oh, I like what Angelina's saying, and they want to find out more about you, where's the landing page for you?
Would be blessededibles.com.
Okay.
You can go to the website. You can go to our Instagram, and that's at blessededibles.
Okay.
There's myself at angelina.blessed on Instagram. If you have any questions about how you think you would like to medicate, how you think you would like to feel, then I'd absolutely love to help people kind of land in that direction, because I really feel that people don't know. I really do feel that edibles have a kind of bad reputation, especially the old legacy market stuff. And it doesn't have to be that scary sort of situation that people used to get themselves into. There is a really safe way to medicate at this point.
I have another question for Angelina and Fred. If you here's the thing with me, because I smoke a lot of weed, as you know, not a lot. Man, I smoke it regularly. I don't smoke as much as I once did. I think the novelty of legalization for me is kind of waning. So I just use it like, you know, like somebody having a beer at the end of the day. I have been taking some edibles, mainly CBD, little gummies at bedtime. And they're 10 milligrams, 2 milligrams of THC, and the rest are CBD. My problem with edibles, and I think a lot of people listening have the same thing, which is you're just never sure what's the right amount. So somebody, before we let you go, if I wanted to get back into them, because I also don't like to smoke. I've been smoking some hash lately, which is beautiful.
Which is beautiful.
What is what's an entry level milligrams of THC that I might want to try?
For everybody, I would suggest you start with a high dose of CBD. anywhere from like, say, 10 to 30 milligrams of CBD. And then you can start to play with the adjustments of the THC. But like, if you haven't touched, now I know that you yourself are a smoker, so you will have a better
I have some tolerance. Yeah.
You have some tolerance, but if there is no, okay, so we're going to say for you, I'm going to say 3 to 5 milligrams of THC.
Okay.
For somebody that has zero experience, I'm going to say 3. But, you know, I would say for you, absolutely no more than 10.
Yeah, what happens at 10? Because I've got some gummies upstairs that are 10.
You would be fine. You would be absolutely all
right.
fine.
But if I'm not, can I call?
10 is the legal dose, right? 10
yeah.
is the legal Canadian legal dose is what they think that we should be having, which for me would be nothing, right?
Yeah.
So, like, for myself, I eat 50 before bed. Like that's mm-hmm. but that's me, and that's not what I would recommend for anybody else.
Okay.
Right. So but we dosed a yoga class a while ago, and we gave those ladies who have never really touched THC, we gave them 3.5 milligrams, and I didn't think that was really going to do anything, but you could see them, you could see they were just slightly touched by it, and I like that, and that's all people want, is that kind of alternative to that glass of wine or that alternative to whatever. So it's just about finding what's right for you. But 3.5 is a good, pretty place.
I got to tell you, it's always lovely catching up with you. I'm glad that you're healthy and well. Tell Nate,
yes, you know,
tell Nate the next time you're doing a big radio show. No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell Nate anything. I don't want to hurt him. Thank you, Angelina. Blessed. You're the nicest. We appreciate it, man.
Stay blessed, my friends.
All right, brother.
You.
Take care.
Okay. Take care now.
What a nice person that Angelina Blessed is. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh. By the way, we were talking about the NBA. Angelina, say bye. Just turn your phone. You can let yourself out. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, see you.
See you
just
later.
Go now.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Removing.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay. Remove. There we go. We were talking about the NBA. And it's interesting. You can go to bodog.eu/sports, and there's every, you know, type of sports there, whether it's the NBA, Olympic Games are open, and of course, MLB. Did we not, or maybe you, were you and I talking about the Jays coming back? But aren't the Jays coming back to town?
July 30th.
Seriously.
That's fantastic, yes. 15,000 capacity. You got to wear a mask unless you're eating or drinking, and so easing back into it.
Yeah. Well, when the Jays are back in town, or even before they are, for instance, tonight, the Red Sox and the Jays are playing the run line. And by the way, it's useless for us to pretend that either of us are experienced bettors, but I've sent a note to Boone about getting Peter Gross on. Because Gross is the guy that knows this stuff, you know, backwards. But you go to bodog.eu and you can see all the different lines. So the run line for tonight is, for the Jays, is minus 1.5. They pay minus 126 to win. The under is 10.5 for the Red Sox. The over is also 10.5. So I'm looking at this, and I honestly don't know who's favored. Do you know?
I think the Jays, slightly.
Okay, because the Red Sox are 106 to win.
Hmm.
And so the Jays are minus 126 to win. Anyway, all the details are at bodog.eu-sports. Okay, let me just go to this little message here. Hang on. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From the industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. There you go. And as I mentioned, it's bodog.eu/sports. And besides the NBA, the MLB, the Olympic Games, you can bet on that. There's tennis and everything you need. I'm sure there was golf on the weekend at bodog.eu. Okay?
Right on. It really brings more fun to sports action when you, you know, you have a little riding on it. It always does.
Do you have anything left to do besides the government? Are you all? I can't remember. Are you all done?
No, we're done. We're done.
You did everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, before we're done, we still need to talk about the government again.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point. Did you, I know you don't really watch a lot of golf, but did you watch any of it on the weekend?
No. Much too nice outside. I thought about it yesterday, but I was enjoying my time outdoors, so no, I never got in. And I had looked at the leaderboard, and I saw the Canadians were there, but not really within striking distance, I would say. So I didn't. I did not.
Well, yesterday, did I watch it? Yeah, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel was asleep yesterday morning, and I snuck out of bed. It was like about 7:30, and I started watching it. And I was still watching highlights last night. Canadian Mackenzie Hughes, who's from around here, made history yesterday. Finished tied. I think he finished sixth or tied for sixth. But that's the best showing a Canadian's ever had at the British Open, now the Open Championship.
Right on.
So yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really, he had a bit of a rough start. Corey Connors was also a Canadian, is still a Canadian today. Was in the last couple of groups. But I just want you to, you know, I mean, you're a guy that likes to know that this kid that won, Colin Morikawa is his name. And he's only been on the, you know, he's only out of school. He got a business degree at Stanford. So he's a pretty bright kid. He's 24 years old. And in his first 50 PGA Tour events, so he's played on the tour for 26 months. He's had 5 wins, 2 majors, 4 times the top 10 in a major. And the only other person to win 2 majors before age 25 is Eldrick. So this kid is the real deal.
I guess so. Wow, yeah. Good for him.
Yep. And good a really nice kid. Very articulate. I watched his press conference last night. Really different. You know, you figure, oh, the guy went to, you know, he didn't go to Stanford and then, you know, play a year and then turn pro. He went all 4 years and got a degree in, as I say, in business. Like, he's a bright, bright young man. Mm-hmm. And unlike a lot of athletes, golfers as well, but a lot of athletes aren't able to articulate how they feel after a win, especially because it's coming just like an hour after he's done. But I thought he was very impressive. Do you remember anyone in your sports career that, you know, as an athlete, was articulate, could articulate their sport?
You put me on the spot. I'd have to think about
that. Why don't you think about it for a few minutes?
Nothing really pops into mind, you know? But I'm sure there were along the way.
Well, there
a
you
name
go.
Right off the top can't do it.
I'm trying to think of hockey players. I'm trying to think of a hockey player we've had on the show. I mean, Kypreos was good to talk about because he was sort of funny. But, you know, we interviewed Doug Gilmore many times. Pretty articulate guy about the sport.
Yes. You know, a guy like, yeah. No, that, yeah. You know, Kypreos was trained over the years, but the reason that he got to where he was because he was fun to listen to as a player and right after he retired as well. So, yeah, that would be a good example, I guess.
And just so often that guy, and there's a few basketball players that I think, you know, Jordan's pretty articulate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was impressed by the way this kid plays, but I was really impressed by just how at ease he was talking to the media. Mm-hmm. Which isn't the usual. All right, well, you do me some more government work, and then we'll get out of here.
You know, every day more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians, do your part, and get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine. This is paid for by the Government of Ontario.
This program brought to you by Health Gauge, Government of Ontario, Bodog, Gig Sky, the Retirement Sherpa, the Chamber Plan, and Baked Fresh each and every day, produced by Toronto Mike, Phil Hong. Humble and Fred are our production of Humble and Fred Incorporated. Yeah, we got a lot we didn't get to today. We'll be talking tomorrow about the world of COVID and how it isn't done yet. It's not done yet, my friend. You want it to be done, but it's not. And we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Where's the